Justified. It's a wonderful reality. The devil accuses you. You may accuse yourself. Your friends maybe accuse you. But God checks the file and he says, there's no record anywhere in this file that my child ever did anything wrong. That's justification.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, describing the doctrine of justification on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is justification, and what is the means of obtaining it? The clearest descriptions of the essentials of Christianity are found in the book of Romans. This book contains the most detailed presentation of theology found anywhere in Scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote extensively about the core concepts of the Christian faith: sin versus righteousness, faith versus works, our justification before God, among other doctrines. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan describes what is perhaps the most important doctrine of all, our justification or standing before a holy God. And he explains how justification is an act of a gracious God before fallen man. How can mortal man, separated from God by sin, be declared righteous or justified before a holy God, who can never be in the presence of sin? Is there any assurance that we can ever be right with God? On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan describes the doctrine of justification, or the gracious act of God that declares righteous the one who believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and calls upon him as Savior. He explains that good works can never redeem us. Only God's grace, through our faith in and acceptance of the risen Christ, can do so. And Pastor Duncan illustrates how this removes all record of our sin before God.
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Martin Luther was drilled by his church centuries ago about works and repentance. And in the middle of climbing a long steps going to a certain shrine, doing penance, there was a verse of Scripture that, like a lightning bolt out of the blue, penetrated his heart. And it was this verse: "The just shall live by faith." And he said, if that be true, and the Word of God is true, if the just shall live by faith, then what on earth am I doing this for? And he got up and he lit the fires of the Reformation. If you know anything about church history, you remember the 99 Theses that he nailed to the Wittenberg Chapel door and lit the fires of the Reformation that freed the Bible into the hands of common people. The oldest book in the Bible contains a story, the account of a man sitting on an ash heap having a controversy with God, and he asked a question 4,000 years ago: how can a mortal person be righteous before God? Job chapter 9, verse 2. How can a mortal man be righteous before God? On May 24th, 1838, an Anglican missionary wrote in his journal these words. Listen to them. He said, "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed." He said, "I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for my salvation. And assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And thus did John Wesley receive the assurance of his salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ." How can a person be just before God? You see, every human being wants to know the answer to that question. You may evade it, you may try to push it in the back corner of your mind, but whenever you stop to think that there is eternity beyond time, that there's another world beyond this sphere, there is something within the human heart that cries out, if there is a Creator God, then I must stand before Him one day. I'm not a vegetable, I'm not plant life, I'm not a mere animal. that there's something beyond this veil of tears, and how can I have assurance and know that I'm right before Him? Justification is one of those key words as a child of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. We all need to know. What does justification mean? Now, you and I are full of opinions. We were born and raised with opinions. Opinions all around us. Other people have opinions. But the question we want to know this morning is, what does the Word of God, the God that put it together, what does He say about this word that means so much? If you're a Christian and you're a believer, this word of justification. Now, there's a key verse, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Drop down to verse 18. And I want you to keep your Bibles open to Romans. We might skip hopping about. You may want to jot some things down and follow me this morning. For if by verse number 18, therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, talking about Adam, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's, capital M, righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Two things I want to share with you this morning about this word. Don't let it frighten you, justification. You say, well, preacher, doctrine frightens me. I'm going to tell you, I remember hearing somebody recently talk about that such and such a thing was a dangerous teaching. There is no truth in the Word of God that's dangerous, but I'll tell you, misunderstanding of the Word of God is an extremely dangerous thing. Misapplication of the Word of God is a very dangerous thing. So I want us this morning to understand what justification really means. And what is the Word of God saying here is that we've been given the free gift of God, which is justification. Justification means that I'm standing before God justified. Means, somebody say, just as if I'd never committed a single sin. Now, what does justification mean? And then what about the method of obtaining it? Now, let me give you a good definition of justification. You need to memorize this. Justification is the gracious act of God in declaring righteous the sinner who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Excellent definition of justification. Justification, the gracious act of God in declaring righteous the person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, two things about justification you need to understand. Listen carefully. Number one, justification is an act. It is an act, not a process. No Christian is more justified than anyone else. Hey, listen carefully. If you're justified and I'm justified, if you're saved and I'm saved, we're both justified the same way. We have the same righteousness. We have the same justification. It is not a process. Justification is an act. Now, I want you to hang in and listen carefully to what I'm going to share with you this morning. I want you to compare the Word of God. We're not talking about opinions, but I'm trying to plow straight furrow with exactly what the Word of God said. Instantly, the person who comes to the cross of Calvary and casts himself on Jesus Christ, trusting only the blood of Jesus, in that instant, a lot of things take place. Regeneration, the Holy Spirit comes, we're sealed, all of these things. But in the legal account records of glory, we are declared justified. Justified. It's a wonderful thing. It's an instant act. It is the gracious act of God. It is not something we do. Now understand carefully, there is no amount of self-effort or good works that could ever make me just before God. We do not justify ourselves. It is God who justifies. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans 8. I love it. And it says that we are justified by Him. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and rather that is risen again. And the whole end of chapter 8 is talking about that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. When God declares us righteous, it is an act of God. But secondly, understand that it is not only an act and not a process. Justification is unchanging. Now, according to the Word of God. In other words, once God declares us righteous, the sin question is settled once and for all time. Now understand carefully. Now I want you to follow me. Justification is not the same as regeneration. Regeneration means I have been born again. Regeneration means I receive a new life. Justification means I receive a new standing. Do you see the difference? I receive life through regeneration. I receive a right standing before God by being declared just before Him. It is a legal term. Even a newborn baby has legal standing before the law. That's why in partial birth abortion, a doctor has to stop that baby before its head comes out, because 2 seconds later and it would be murder. There's legal standing before God. Justification means that I've been accepted in Jesus Christ. I love the story I read years ago about two buddies in the war. I mean, the fighting had been intense. They were so devoted to each other. Their friendship, it was like they just bonded together. One was extremely wealthy. Came from a prominent family, had a lot of standing in the community in the area. His parents were prominent and well-known. The other one was a very poor boy. In fact, he was so poor he didn't even have any family to go back home to after the war was over. In the course of an intense battle, the son that was wealthy was mortally wounded. His buddy sought him out and found him. There he was, riddled with bullets. He said, "I've got to get you to help." He said, "It's no use." He said, "I'm dying." He said, "I know I'm dying." But he said, "You don't have a family to go back home to after the war is over." He said, "I want you to take my shirt," the shirt that had the bullet holes in it, saturated in blood. And he said, "I want you to take my shirt off, roll it up, put it in your knapsack, take it home with you and your belongings. And he said, "I want you to look out my parents and my home place." He knew where to go. Sure enough, he did. He was released from his duties in the war. And he went to this huge palatial home. Servant met him at the door. And he asked to be admitted in. The man and the woman of the house came down and they were cool and distant. They thought, "Yeah, here's somebody else just looking for some favors or some handouts." And he began to talk with them about the friendship he had with their son. But everything changed in an instant when he reached in his personal effects and pulled out a bloody shirt with bullet holes in it. There was instant affinity. Instantly, that mom and dad were moved to tears. Immediately they got up and embraced him, hugged him, welcomed him, and said, "We want you to be a part of our family. If this was our dying son's request, and this is his shirt, we want you to be a part of our family." Let me tell you something. Covered with sin, ugly, deserving nothing from God but justice and His wrath, standing before Him in the blood of Jesus Christ, I have standing. Nor is justification the same as forgiveness. If God forgives me and I sin again, then I need to be forgiven again. You follow me? But you see, justification settles things permanently and eternally. Nor is justification the same as pardoned. A pardoned criminal is still a criminal. But let me tell you something. There's a record of his crimes in a file somewhere. But justification removes the guilt and changes my standing. There is no file, no record anywhere in glory of my sin before me. Warren Wiersbe, let me read you what Warren Wiersbe said about this. He said justification means not only that God forgets our sins, past, present, and future, but God forgets that we're even sinners. And He'll never, ever, ever, ever again treat me as a sinner. That's what Warren Wiersbe said. Tony Evans been doing a thing on radio. Anybody been listening to Tony Evans? Don't you love? I love him. He's spoken at Promise Keepers meetings. And my son Bruce came to me the other day. He said, Daddy, he said, Tony has been absolutely stirring me. He said, so much so that I've ordered a bunch of tapes from him. He said, it's just awesome. But he said, he shared a record of a man that bought a Rolls Royce in England. He was a Britisher. And said he decided to go across the channel into Europe. And he wanted his own transportation. So he said he put the Rolls Royce on a ferry boat. And they went across the channel. And he said while he was in Europe, he started touring. And said the car started giving him trouble. And he said so. He called up the Rolls Royce factory in England and said, I'm having trouble with the Rolls Royce. They said, excuse us, where are you? And he told them his location, and he said, we'll correct it immediately. And he said they flew a master mechanic from England to wherever he was in Europe, and the master mechanic fixed the problem in no time at all. When the man got back from his trip in Europe, back to England, he thought, man, this is going to be some kind of bill. It's going to be awesome. So he wrote the factory a letter saying, I had a problem with the Rolls Royce that I got from you, and I'm just wanting to know what the bill is, what does it cost? You know what he got? He got a letter back. You know what it said? It said, Dear Sir, we have searched our files. We find no record of ever having a problem with the Rolls Royce anywhere in history. Folks, that's justification. The enemy comes along. He says, sinner, look what you've done. And God says, let me search the records. So he opens up the files and he says, oh, wait a minute now. I find nothing on file in his account. Justified. It's a wonderful reality. The devil accuses you. You may accuse yourself. Your friends maybe accuse you. But God checks the file and he says, there's no record anywhere in this file that my child ever did anything wrong. That's justification. Oh my. The gracious act of God declaring righteous the one who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how is a person justified? How is a person justified? How can a holy God justify sinners? God doesn't overlook sin. He deals with it. Let me tell you two or three ways very quickly. It's here in the Word of God. First of all, He deals with our sin freely by His grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Listen to it. You find five words, justified. You got it there? Look at it if you want to see it. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Notice those five words, justified freely by His grace. Now, how does God justify us? He justifies by grace, not by merit. And the word freely, don't you love that word? Freely by His grace. Man, there was no price in my hand, no price I bring. One of the old hymns says, simply to thy cross I cling. The word freely is translated in John chapter 15, that same Greek word. Listen to what I'm going to share with you. Without reason. In John 15, 15, the same word that is translated here in Romans freely is translated without reason. So it would be just as equal to say this, that we are justified without reason by His grace. In other words, there's nothing in me. There is nothing that makes God want to justify me. Nothing at all. It's totally without reason, humanly speaking. It's freely by His grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. When I come to the cross of Calvary and I fall beneath that cross and I say, God, help me, save me. I'm lost and undone. He says, thank you for trusting my Son. Glory to God. And one of the things that happens in regeneration is that He declares me justified. I have standing before God. God justifies the wicked. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 says, however, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, listen to that, his faith is credited as righteousness. Now, in the Old Testament, God warned all the judges that they should justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Consider Deuteronomy 25:1. When men have a dispute, they are to take it to court, and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. If God did that to you and me, we'd all be condemned forever. Why is it? Why is it that God justifies the ungodly? You want me to tell you why? For the simple reason that there are no godly people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why God justifies the ungodly. He can only do business on that level. Long as you feel like there's something good in you, as long as you feel like that I can somehow, some way hang on and hope that for the best out there in eternity, there is nothing God can do for you. But when you understand and realize that it is all by His grace, all because He loves you, there's nothing, it's totally without reason, that word freely says, that He even redeems you. But there's a second way, not only by grace, but by faith. Romans 3:28 says, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Now, when you have grace, you've got to have faith. But when you have the law, you've got to have works. A person cannot be justified by keeping the law. Romans 3:20 states, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of sin. Paul said the law was a mirror. Every time I look into that mirror, I see myself and see how far short of God's glory I fall. The law was given to show me my need of a redeemer, that only God could intervene in my life. Only God. I'm hopelessly, helplessly lost forever, condemned to spend forever in hell, separated from anything that is good and pure and clean and holy, unless He do something. Glory to God, He did. We're justified by faith, faith in Christ, faith that comes from deep within my heart. Faith is only as good as its object, amen? I mean, whatever you believe in may be wrong. No matter how sincere you may be, it's not saving faith. Faith in a lie is false security. Faith in truth is saving faith. Jesus said, I'll not share my glory with anyone. When we get to heaven, worthy is the Lamb to receive praise and glory and honor forever and ever and ever without reason. Third, we're saved by His blood. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 5. Much more then, having now been justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Not only are we justified by grace, not only are we justified by faith, but we're justified by His blood. Somebody has to pay the price for sin. God doesn't just shut His eyes and say, I'll just close my eyes and forget that they're sinners. God doesn't do that. That's fiction. For God to justify sinners, His holiness has to deal with sin. God would cease to be a holy God if He allowed sin any other way from being dealt with. He has to deal with man's ungodliness. In order to be justified by faith, there has to be a Savior to believe in. and we are justified by His blood. Romans 4:25, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, said this, that He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He bore the penalty. Now God can be just and the justifier of those who come to Him. That's how the justice and the holiness of God can be met with the love of God. There on the cross of Calvary, 2,000 years ago, hell did its worst. Satan vented its hottest rage against the Son of God, pure and innocent and holy. The only person that could be our Lamb and our sin bearer was Jesus Christ. There is none righteous, no, not one. And on Him, on the cross of Calvary, for 6 hours, there played the sweetest melody this old sin-cursed world has ever heard, the melody of redeeming, forgiving love. And it's only in Him, as you cast everything on Him. Everything. Now the devil comes along and says, God, how in the world can you declare Owen Duncan righteous? And the resounding answer comes back, by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. But what about Owen's sins? Jesus died for those sins. They've been taken care of. We're justified by grace, not by human merit. Understand? In a summary fashion, what we've looked at in the Word this morning. We're justified by grace, not by human merit. We're justified by faith, not by works of the law. We're justified by His blood because Jesus was the only one and He died for us. Now, what are the results of all of this? Look at verse number 18 of chapter 5. This is wonderful. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Whose offense? Old Adam. You know, when somebody said when they get to eternity, they want to look old Adam out and kind of kick him, you know, in the rear end, say, what'd you do that for? But listen, we're all guilty. Had we been in Adam's place, he represented us, we would have done the same identical thing. Therefore, as through one man's offense or sin, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's, capital M's, righteous act, the free gift, glory to God, isn't that wonderful, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. It is a justification that results in life. We are justified unto life. Justification is not just something that God records in His books, but it results in a new standing and a new life before Him. Justification makes possible our union with Christ. And this union is described in the opening verses that we read, verses 1 through 5. It is a life of peace, it's a life of glory, it's a life of joy. Whoo, my soul, people, listen. It is so wonderful. It's glorious. Each night to lay your head down on the pillow and to know that you're right with Him. And to know that there is nothing, no principality, no power, no height, nor depth, no created being, nothing in all of earth beneath, heaven above, in time and eternity. You read the latter part of Romans 8. There is absolutely nothing that can ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Savior. Because day by day, there are times when I need His forgiveness as His child. You see, the problem is this. A lot of folks think they possess and they don't. They've been slipped or counterfeit from the enemy. But God says, those that come to me are my children forever. Yes, there are days when my fellowship gets messed up, but my standing before God is changeless. Justified. God is gracious, but He'll not force the acceptance of His grace upon us. In 1829, there was a man by the name of George Wilson from Pennsylvania. He was sentenced by federal court for robbing the mails and for murder. The president at the time was Andrew Jackson from Tennessee. President Jackson pardoned him, our seventh president, but this was refused by George Wilson. And Wilson insisted that it was not a pardon unless he accepted it. And that, my friend, was a sticking point with the law. Our nation never faced anything like it. So President Jackson referred this situation to the Supreme Court of our land for a final ruling, for a decision. What do we do? This guy's sitting in a jail cell, condemned to die with a sentence of death over him, and I, as the President of the United States, have given him a pardon, but he refuses to accept it. Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision. I want to read it to you. A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And he was. It happened in history. Provisionally, the gospel of Jesus Christ is offered to us. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone, irrespective of what he may be or what he may have done. God says, I love you, I offer you a pardon, but if you reject it, I have no choice but to allow you to go on out into eternity by your own choice. So God today is offering you something that if you had all the wealth in the world, you couldn't buy it. If you had all of the strength and the energy of the strongest person who ever lived, you could never work for it. You could never deserve it. I don't care how religious, how devoted, though you gave your body to be burned, and though you gave all of your possessions to help the poor, it would never gain you one particle of favor. All of your goodness and all of our righteousness is just like a pile of ugly, stinking, filthy rags. But the glorious news is that right now, this morning, God is offering you something that is so priceless, it'll last for out of all eternity if you'll just come and receive it. And you're thinking you're right with God because you're religious, because you're good, because you're a church member, because you've done all kind of good things. I pray that the Holy Spirit will penetrate that veneer and let you see without Him you're lost. If you're here today and you know that you need Jesus, I'm going to ask you to get up in a moment and make your way to this front. You've got a burden, a heavy heart, a heart that's breaking this morning. I promise you, He will apply healing to where it hurts. If God is calling you and He's spoken to you this morning, then today's the day. Will you stand? Father God, as we bow in Your house, we praise You, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful, marvelous truth. Lord, the doctrine of justification. What a tremendous word this is in the Word of God. That You'd freely declare us righteous, though we deserve nothing from You. God, we're amazed and we're awed at Your love toward us this day. Father, speak to that one today. Perhaps a number of folks in this audience that need to come. Now, Lord, we just trust You to move in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Keith Cooper leading the congregation in a verse of How Great Thou Art, as Pastor Duncan closed his message on the doctrine of justification on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. And now on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.